Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time for Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Just after 6 o'clock, Tuesday, November 5th. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Judson Richards along with you until 9 o'clock this evening. What else could be going on today? Oh, that's right. It is Election Day. Hopefully you got a chance to get out there and do your civic duty. In fact, we thought because it was Election Day, we would give you a chance to go ahead and air it out and give yourself an approval rating. In fact, give Matt Eberflus an approval rating. And how you're feeling about how the Bears head coach is doing. 312-644-6767. This is, in fact, my first time on The Score, my first grill round. Great to have Alex Kuhn producing the show as well to keep me anchored. But this is probably about the time where I'm supposed to go over my resume, tell you about me. And I will be honest, I do find Caleb Williams and the Bears far more interesting than that. So that is where we will begin. I will tell you this about me, though. I am knee-deep in my dad life currently. Shout out to all the parents out there, especially with young kids. I have a four-year-old at home, Judd, my son, and I have a soon-to-be two-year-old daughter. My daughter, Layla, is just 11 days away from turning 2 years old. One thing we do press upon them is practicing gratitude. Each and every night at dinner time, we sit down, we do what we call our grateful fors, right? We offer one, two, three things that happened throughout the day that we are simply grateful for. My daughter, who is still one, she is not quite there just yet. My son, he's hit or miss, right? Every once in a while, he will give a grateful for, like when dad picks up a new pair of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle light-up shoes at Walmart. Best $18 a dad can spend. That you better believe, sure, he'll come up with a grateful for. I thought before we get started, I would like to offer a couple. Number one, it is so great to be on in the city of Chicago. This is where my dad fell in love with sports. As I like to say, I see sports through his eyes. This is undoubtedly why I do what I do for a living. So grateful to be on in Chicago. Number two, grateful to be on a station the caliber of 670 The Score. And I will tell you, timing in life is everything. And I'm grateful to be covering the Bears in whatever capacity at the very beginning of the Caleb Williams era. I will plant my flag. I will tell you right now that I am a believer in number 18. That is even after a couple games with a 48% completion percentage, no touchdown passes. He struggled, a couple losses there. But I will also say, I've got to raise my hands and really maybe look at the expectations that I had for Caleb Williams. I may need to reset those rookie year expectations for Caleb, because I'll tell you, I was one of those that thought, hey, maybe the Bears will have their first 4,000-yard passer already with Caleb Williams in his rookie year. Hey, maybe he will be the first 30-touchdown passer in a single season. Maybe Caleb Williams will go ahead and lead this team to the playoffs, maybe even deep into the playoffs his rookie year. What we've seen in front of us, it looks like we will need to reset those expectations. But also, I wonder how Caleb Williams is accepting the way that this year has gone so far. I watched Caleb on the Pivot podcast with Brian Clark. I heard him say that he wanted to win more Super Bowls than the GOAT Tom Brady. Love the confidence. I'd like to see him start with one before he starts verbally chasing the GOAT. But that is who Caleb Williams is. This is the guy who threw 72 touchdowns and 10 interceptions his last 2 years in college. So as I reset my expectations about the rookie year that Caleb Williams may or may not have, and I bring this up because the Bears are about to head into the gauntlet that is the NFC North. They do have the most difficult season the rest of the way of every NFL team. And we saw how things looked last week against the Arizona Cardinals, who are not a very good football team. But as I adjust my expectations, the confident guy, Caleb Williams, the man who really has never struggled at the quarterback position, he may not have won every game in college, but he has always had tremendous productivity at the quarterback position. I would venture to guess his last two games have been the worst games that he has ever played. It should not be shocking. It should not be shocking because he is 8 games into his NFL career, a true rookie, playing the most difficult position in sports. Oh, by the way, he's got a struggling head coach, an offensive coordinator that seems to be in over his head, and an offensive line that is woeful. And I thought it was so interesting. Into the fourth quarter on CBS, I love that crew. Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, Evan Washburn, I think they do a tremendous job. As bad as things were going, this must have jumped out to them as they spoke to Caleb Williams leading up to the game. This was the conversation on CBS heading into the fourth quarter about Caleb Williams.
It's moving along.
Sorry, we'll see if we can get to that. Again, they do these production meetings, right? They do the production meetings. This was the conversation fourth quarter on CBS during the game.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb's words to us last night were, I beat myself up pretty badly. Now, he's been like this, and it's worked for him. I mean, it's a superpower to some degree, and for him, it's all about managing it. And I think that's what he laid down to us. It's about the work he puts in, but really the support he gets, not just from away from the field, but on the field. He said, my teammates show me a lot of grace.
Evan, when he talked about being so hard on himself, one of the things I thought he said was, I'm so hard on myself because I don't want to let my teammates down. I thought that was a very interesting and telling comment from him.
No doubt. And you notice that field level, guys. I mean, he's engaging with everybody, spending a lot of time with the wide receivers, actually sitting with them at times. The frustration's real, but now it's just about figuring out a way to deal with it.
Here are the four major problems for the Bears right now. And again, if you want to talk Bears, you want to talk Matt Eberflus. We're allowing you to give your approval rating on Election Day of Bears head coach Matt Eberflus, 312-644-6767. The four biggest problems for the Bears right now, number one, their head coach. Number two, their offensive coordinator. Number three, their offensive lineman. And finally, number four, how does Caleb Williams continue to grow and progress in his rookie year with those major problems in front of him? And especially, as you just heard there, how hard he is on himself, right? He said, he told Evan Washburn, and they obviously circled it when he said it in a production meeting, that he beats himself up pretty badly when things don't go well. And they certainly have not gone well in his last couple of games. But I will say this, I thought Caleb had his best moment at the podium in postgame. I thought that this was someone who seems to have had the best media training. I think a lot of players, and to be honest, their head coach can learn a lot from the way Caleb Williams does things at the podium. I thought this was his best moment to date. When asked, did the Bears hold on too long to what happened in the Hail Mary game? We'll get to that audio in just a moment. But again, because I do think that the Bears beat themselves twice. I think that they have serious injuries. I think they have coaching problem, not just head coach, but also with the offensive coordinator. But I also think that, yes, that Hail Mary game did beat them twice. This is what Caleb Williams said about it after the game.
I think early on in the week, I think we could have done better overall of bouncing back after that. I know it's a tough loss. It's tough regardless of you know, who you are in the facility, if you're out there making plays or if you're making decisions up top. You know, being better at that, understanding that you know, we have many more games left after that. Been able to, you know, be one, be a family, and move on from that, and have the right leaders, and which we do. We have the right guys to do, you know, things like that, which is bounce back from something like that. And we got to do it this week.
You said be better, you just mean move on quicker?
Yeah, we gotta be better and move on quicker. We gotta, you know, have that 24-hour period, and from there move on.
I thought that was a great line of questioning from Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times. Patrick will join us coming up at 7 o'clock, by the way. I should have mentioned Evan Washburn who I thought did a great job in that segment we played in the fourth quarter, who had the sideline reporting for that game against the Cardinals. Evan will join us coming up in just about 15 minutes. So join us at 6:25. Did he see a team who looked like they were not hearing the messaging from their head coach? We'll ask Evan that coming up in just 15 minutes. By the way, there is a new feature we have for you, the voice messaging. It's a new feature available only in the Odyssey app that allows users to record and send a message directly to the station. The voice message feature only available, again, in the Odyssey app, not on the mobile or the desktop website. A listener must be logged into the app to use the voice message feature. So we are asking you, on Election Day, what is your approval rating of head coach Matt Eberflus? Also, what does he need to do to be around in 2025? What does Matt Eberflus need to do? Does he need to go 4-2 in the NFC North? Does he need to make the playoffs? Does it come down to playoffs or bust for the Bears head coach? You can leave us a voice message there. You can also call us 312-644-6767. Now, back to what Caleb Williams said there. There was a lot of great content that came out of last week. A lot of it came right through your speakers at 670 The Score. I also thought that there was a lot of complaining going on from the players. And I did think that it perpetuated what happened in the Hail Mary. Now, what Tyreek Stevenson did ultimately is going to keep that conversation alive. The guy who had virtually nothing to say about it, Caleb Williams, was the one that I thought gave them the best chance to turn the page on what was that Hail Mary game and to not let it potentially beat them twice. Perhaps it would have lost to the Cardinals anyways, but I thought that out of anyone, Caleb Williams handled that situation better than anybody else. And, you know, if you love the draft like I do, there was no one perhaps more discussed than Caleb Williams, right? Even over his last year in college, people love to talk about Caleb Williams. This was the guy we all know about the fingernails. This was a guy we all know about hugging and crying his mom. There were so many things said about Caleb Williams. And what did he do? He showed up at the combine and was perhaps the most mature player there. I still think that Caleb Williams, when it comes to how you would want your quarterback to act at the podium, I think that Caleb Williams is putting on a clinic of how to do things the right way. And in fact, what he said there about turning the page quicker and getting over it faster, I feel like he went in his own direction. Because you saw a lot of, not only veterans, you saw a lot of captains that were saying things that perpetuated the conversation. The one guy who didn't was Caleb Williams. And I felt like also, have you heard him complain one time about his offensive line? I have not heard him complain one time about getting absolutely destroyed on just about every Sunday. I think Caleb is really close to being the outright leader of the Chicago Bears. Now, he's got to play better, right? He has to play better. His wide receivers need to play better. His coaches need to do a much better job or else they will no longer be his coach. Let's talk about the player, Caleb Williams. It's always must listen to radio. Kurt Warner, Mondays, Spiegel and Holmes, Hall of Famer. Let's talk about Kurt Warner. Kurt was asked about regression, right? How much or is he regressing from what he has seen from Caleb Williams on film? We'll get to that in just a moment. 312-644-6767. Judson Richards all the way with you until 9 o'clock this evening. Again, Evan Washburn will join us at 6:25. We'll talk to Patrick Finley. How hot is the seat for Matt Eberflus? Patrick Finley will join us coming up at 7 o'clock. Kurt Warner, is Caleb Williams regressing? This is what he told Spiegel and Holmes.
I don't know if I use the word regression. I think, you know, you're seeing a lot of kind of the same things that we've seen throughout the year. I think Caleb has, you know, made some progression as the year's gone along. But I also think if you look at the last couple games, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't put a whole bunch of it on Caleb myself. I don't think there's been a lot of great opportunities for him. You know, some of the concepts haven't really been easy for him. You know, you guys hear me talk about all the time, the pure progression stuff where, you know, it takes time to get through an entire progression. And so sometimes when he's trying to get through his progression, there's not the protection and the ability to work through some of those things. So it slows down the process. I do think there's some issues for me personally, just with his comfort level in the pocket and throwing the football, that sometimes I think he gets real stiff in the pocket and he misses some throws or I shouldn't even say missing them because they're not like easy throws, but they don't come out exactly like I would want them to come out. And I think a lot of that is because he gets kind of stuck in the pocket at times. But just in terms of playing and trying to progress and trying to work through his reads, I don't think these last couple games have really been on him. I don't think yesterday's game was on him a lot where I said, oh man, he missed a bunch of different throws or different reads in the game. I don't think there was a lot available for him for the most part. And, you know, and so that's kind of how I assess the quarterback position coming off yesterday's game. I know a lot of people want to point there and they didn't score a lot of points and some of that stuff, but I just didn't really think there was a lot of, you know, really open, easy opportunities for him.
Kurt Warner must listen to on Mondays. And I will tell you this, Kurt is about as direct as you will get. I mean, he is about as objective. He's not going to tell Chicago what Chicago wants to hear. And so I thought that answer, right, depending on as we continue to watch who Caleb Williams becomes through this rookie season, that spoke a lot more to what was happening around Caleb than just what was on the shoulders of number 18. Let's go to the phones. 312-644-6767. Mark from River Forest is hitting leadoff. Mark, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he needs – I think Eberflus is going to need to win on the road a couple games, like three or four. I don't really worry about Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, but I think Eberflus, whatever his name is going to need to win on the road. Those teams that he's beating are like junior varsity. They're really not that good. I mean, Carolina, Jacksonville, their defenses are like Swiss cheese, you know?
Mark, do you have any confidence about what's going to happen once they begin in division against the Vikings, against the Lions, against the Packers?
Not really. I mean, I just think they're going to get – I mean, I think the team quit on him. I think the team's kind of quit on him, kind of checked out. They didn't. Look, they were like they were even interested in Arizona. I mean, they 9-0, I thought – I was 7-0. I thought that team was – it was probably over with. After that call on the kick field goal attempt, I kind of thought that it was looking like it could have been over. I mean, it just didn't seem like they were at all interested in playing. I don't see anything they're going to do against this division. The division is rock solid. I mean, from head to toe, from the Packers to the Lions to the Vikings, those are teams that look pretty like they're going to. It's going to be a war to get in the playoffs and win that division. I think. I mean, I think it's the Lions. But
Mark, thanks for the call. Here's the thing too. I added up right the three teams above the Bears have 19 wins. No other top three teams in football. Again, I know there are bye weeks and such, but you have 19 wins between the Lions, who I think is the best team in the NFL. And by the way, they just added because of the injury to Aiden Hutchinson. They got another pass rusher, and the Packers and the Vikings, right? 19 wins between the three of them, and they haven't even begun divisional play yet. Let's go back to the phones. 312-644-6767. Brian is on the road. Hey, Brian, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, man? I just wanted to comment on Eberflus's comments coming out of the half or out of halftime in the tunnel. I forget who the reporter was. Coach, what was your comments to the team at halftime? And he said something along the lines of, "I said to the guys, the score is what the score is. But we're in this together." And I just was rolling on my floor, like listening to that. I was like, it was so uninspiring. But also, I mean, it sounded like not even like a high school coach speak what he was saying, too. So, I don't know, man. I don't see firing him this year, but I don't see him coming back next year unless he does something drastic.
Brian, stick with me for a minute. By the way, he was talking to Evan Washburn, who is a sideline reporter for CBS. Evan's going to join us coming up at 6:25. We will ask him, in fact, about that interview that he did. What is Eberflus good at as a head coach? Because I ask myself that all the time.
I mean, he's not good in games. I mean, I was rolling on the floor when he left three timeouts the game before and didn't call that timeout during the Hail Mary pass, and then also didn't challenge that play the previous game when the Bears had a running play and got down to, I don't know, the half-yard line against not against the Cardinals. I forgot who they played before. But they in the first half, they got down to the half-yard line on third down, didn't challenge it, and just, you know, kind of rolled over. So what he's good at, maybe defensive play calling, but that's about it, in my opinion, and that's not what we need as that coach.
Yeah, that's my point exactly. He's good at being a defensive coordinator while being paid to be a head coach, right? As I watched Hard Knocks, and again, I agree with you, Brian. It's if you're not good at knowing when to challenge, if you're not good at clock management, if you're not good at holding on to or when to use your timeouts, and you're not an incredible motivator, and if you're not good at like being an intimidator, right? Because he is the leader of the head coach. I felt like Hard Knocks was trying to sell me on this cool guy that had this ability. Like, being likable is not necessarily a great trait of a head coach. Who cares? Do you inspire? Do you perhaps get more out of your guys by intimidation? Are you great in-game as a head coach situationally? Or are you just an overpaid defensive coordinator? Because I think we're about to find out when he goes up against Dan Campbell twice, Matt LaFleur twice, Kevin O'Connell twice, I think it will be far too clear. No one will be able to ignore it. 312-644-6767. Again, there is the voice message you can leave. We're asking you to go ahead on Election Day. You can leave. Give us a report on how you feel, an approval rating on Matt Eberflus and what he needs to do to still be the head coach in 2025, which at this stage of the game feels close to impossible. Evan Washburn, who handles sideline duties for CBS with a great team of Ian Eagle and Charles Davis as well. Did the Bears look like a team that was not hearing a single message coming from their head coach? We'll ask him coming up next.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb's words to us last night were, I beat myself up pretty badly. Now, he's been like this, and it's worked for him. I mean, it's a superpower to some degree, and for him, it's all about managing it. And I think that's what he laid down to us. It's about the work he puts in, but really the support he gets, not just from away from the field, but on the field. He said, my teammates show me a lot of grace.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was CBS's Evan Washburn. He had the sideline duties for Bears and Cardinals on Sunday, and that certainly caught my attention. He beats himself up pretty badly as Caleb Williams is navigating his way through his rookie season, trying to continue to grow, and we thought that we'd reach out to Evan, have a conversation with him, with us. Evan Washburn joins us now from CBS. Evan, how's the NFL season treating you?
It's moving along. It's unbelievable that we've reached, I guess we're on the backside of the midpoint. I don't know, with the new game schedule, the quarters no longer work, but it's been great. It's the best reality show going, and so fortunate to be able to bounce around the league every Sunday.
Sunday was a lot more fun for Cardinals fans than it was Bears fans, although there may have been far more Bears fans there to watch that game that you were covering. Your halftime interview with what Matt Eberflus, he did not impress a lot of Bears fans with what he had to say. How challenging can those halftime interviews be for you talking to the losing coach, especially with a team struggling as badly as the Bears were on Sunday?
I'm fortunate I've been doing it long enough now where I've been able to remove a lot of the emotion out of it. And I try to be really respectful of whether it's a coach, a player in those situations, knowing I'm probably the last thing they want to be doing. So my goal is to be as direct and efficient as possible while also addressing whatever needs to be addressed in terms of what's happening on the field. So that's kind of my process. And I just walk into it with that mindset and appreciate whatever response you get back, whether it's positive, negative, angry, sad, happy. I'm just going for emotion in those moments or some semblance of context as to why. And while I can understand maybe Bears fans being frustrated by so many things at this point, I appreciated Matt Eberflus, one, doing it, even though it is a requirement, but also shedding some light on what had happened to end the first half.
Heading into the fourth quarter, if you could give us a peek behind the curtains, because it was a great conversation between you and Ian Eagle and Charles Davis, and it was about Caleb Williams, and it was obviously something that he had said that it caught your attention, where he spoke about, you know, I beat myself up pretty badly when things don't go well. How did you get to that conversation? I'm assuming it wasn't organic. Was it something that you were keeping an eye on throughout the week and wanted to get to during the game since things were not going well for the Bears?
It's a part of the process for us that I think is really the lifeblood of what we do. And you hear it thrown around a lot. Oh, they had a production meeting with the coach and the quarterback and the players. And that is a part of the weekly process to get ready for a game. So the away team, it's often you meet with them when they arrive in the site of their game that Sunday. So for the Bears, it was in Arizona. And Saturday evening, we met with Matt Eberflus, with Caleb Williams, with DeAndre Swift, with Kevin Byard. And I really prepare the week for those meetings because you get 10 to 20 minutes with each one of those subjects. And there's no cameras. We're not recording it. We are on the record unless they say off the record, and then we're not on the record. It's, I would describe it, and there's nuance to this, and this is part of what I think is important as you become more experienced in this, whether it's play-by-play analyst or sideline reporter, that not everything said in that meeting needs to be vomited onto a broadcast just because you heard it the night before, the day, 2 days before with the home team. But as the game lends itself, it is important to weave in the things we learned and the conversations we had. So specific to your point on Caleb, as we were talking about his season and his process and just sort of the nature of who he is as a quarterback and how he's making his way through his first season as a pro, he had mentioned that at times he does beat himself up about things not going well. And obviously the week prior had been a pretty deflating loss, but he's really found it to be something that is now a strength of his. And he was also referencing, and I know we said this on the broadcast, just how much he's appreciated the support of his teammates, most notably maybe the older ones that recognize how hard and how much work he's putting into this, how hard he's working, and being there. And I think the term he used and we used was showing him grace. And then we got into sort of his process of managing it, because whether it's ourselves wanting to be perfect or wanting to be successful, or I can really see it with a 9-year-old son who's embarking on his journey as an athlete and getting really frustrated at times, you think, how do I manage this? Because it is a positive to want to be great. But if you allow it to detract against and become this weight on your shoulders, it can turn into a negative. And then we got into more depth on some of that with Caleb. And that's kind of how it worked its way into the game, because as we got in, and as you know, and fans know, in the fourth quarter, physically, and I would imagine mentally, and Caleb was, he was getting beat up.
We're talking to CBS Sports' Evan Washburn. He had the sideline duties for the Bears-Cardinals game last weekend. What else jumped out to you when you talked to Caleb? You've been doing this for a very long time. You have talked to veterans, you have talked to rookies and everyone in between. How did he strike you as a true rookie and already with that starting job immediately as the season began?
He didn't feel like a rookie from kind of an emotional standpoint. He felt like, and it makes sense based off of the life he's lived as a celebrity quarterback, not just in last year in USC winning the Heisman, but for all intents and purposes, he's been kind of tabbed the guy going back to when he came out of DC in high school. But he made a reference to, and I don't think we got this in the broadcast, but it's definitely germane to this conversation and what's going on with them. He really said last year at USC where they went 7-5 has been really helpful for him as he manages, as he calls it, the ups and downs of the NFL. And it's funny, we had Jaden Daniels a few weeks ago. We're going to have them this weekend as a crew. And some of these guys that went through some of the real downs as a college athlete. So he had the ultimate high, wins the Heisman, and he's got all the physical gifts and he's getting the Mahomes comps. And so there's so much excitement about his next year at USC. And then they just couldn't defend anyone. And it became a really challenging season. He had made the point that that's been valuable as sort of that experience, something to look back on as he manages this year, knowing that obviously at the NFL level, the ups and downs are felt at probably another level. But to answer your initial question, he did not feel like a rookie when he walked in that room and handled what can be, if you're a 22 to 24 year old guy, a little challenging where you've got, let's call it 3 to 4 people that you don't know that well in that case at all, because we hadn't met with them yet. And we're all asking you kind of questions both about the game and about you. And so sometimes guys need to kind of know, hey, what's this? What are we doing here?
Yeah. One of the reasons why I asked and why I talked to you is because they certainly have an uphill climb, and that's putting it lightly. I believe they have the most difficult remaining schedule. You know, they still have the entire NFC North to get to, which any given day, those could be the top three teams in the NFC, specifically the Lions at number one. What did you make of his demeanor on the sidelines and to everything that you said about how he beats him up pretty badly? Could you get a sense that ultimately it could affect him play by play or even game by game because of how badly he wants to be great for the Bears?
I think that would be a leap from two angles. One, it's small sample size for me. I was there for 4 quarters. I don't begin to think that I have a true understanding of how one's demeanor on a sideline truly impacts their production on the field. I reserve that for guys that I've seen at least, let's call it a couple seasons where I can see like, hey, that's out of character. I remember specifically a few years ago, AFC Championship game, I saw Joe Burrow go up to his offensive line. And it was a moment where he basically laid into him, like kind of was pumping him up and being rah-rah, like this is our drive here. Where for most quarterbacks, that would be like, yeah, you go over your line and you pump them up. Joe doesn't do stuff like that very often. So it clicked with me in the moment. Ooh, that means this is a little different. So I'm going to need a lot more time on task with Caleb to know how his emotions on the sideline really impact his process. But I think it's safe to say for a group that Sunday did not go as planned based off of how they felt like they responded during the week, a week that you're limited in that market where people, I was consuming it all. And I thought, wow, these guys have been through the ringer this week. I thought losing the Hail Mary was hard enough. I don't know if they need this day in and day out. But I think that was, there was a sort of a just general frustration as you crept into the late third, fourth quarter of that game with, man, this is how we're going to play after what happened, I guess it was 7 days ago.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between. Did the Hail Mary game beat them twice, or are they just not as good a team as we thought they were? And then you add in the added caveat where how is Matt Eberflus's messages being heard by his team? I'll tell you, in postgame on the score, longtime Chicago Bear great Olin Krutz did say they looked like a team with the head coach that had lost the locker room. Speaking of small sample size, I know you probably don't want to get into that, but I will ask you, you've seen a lot of football up close and personal. Did it look like there was something lost in translation between head coach and players with the way that that game played out against the Cardinals?
In lead up to it, no. We had a specific conversation with Kevin Byard, which I think we got into in the broadcast, but the fact that, and I was the one who wanted clarity on it, just because Kevin's, I mean, the pros pro, have met with him over the years. And what had happened where he was one of the captains that had been identified as sort of speaking out of school with how, or revealing conversations and not keeping it in house, that sort of thing. And he really, he stood up for Matt Eberflus in our conversation and saying that he appreciates how much he allows this team to be led by the players, and that he made the point to Matt that it's, Matt Eberflus on Wednesday, that he shouldn't have referenced their conversation. So I think that the way they played on Sunday, I didn't feel was a direct result of what happened in Washington. I think it's a direct result of a team that, while talented, does not seem to, especially offensively, have the cohesion necessary. And it really starts with, if they can't protect Caleb Williams, none of this stuff matters. You can look for reasons why and words said and locker rooms and messages, but I don't look at football as a simple game. There's so much of it I don't understand, even though I've been doing the sidelines now for 11 seasons. But I do know if your quarterback is constantly having to run around to protect himself or get away from trouble, bad things are going to happen. And then on the flip side, not that it would have eliminated the run game that the Cardinals had. Your best player was in street clothes because of his shin injury. And those two things, like this whole, that's an excuse. Like, no, it's an explanation as to why. So I often lean that way over the stuff that, while I appreciate the reality show, as we touched off on the top, the sort of the dramatic aspects of it, as opposed to what's just sort of nuts and bolts.
Evan, thanks for your time. You and Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, we're always lucky to get your crew. Thanks so much.
Oh, I appreciate it. Anytime.
That's Evan Washburn, CBS Sports, sideline duties for the Bears Cardinals. Enjoy that conversation with him. And he wasn't quite ready to say that Matt Eberflus had lost the locker room. But again, this locker room is still trying to find itself. And in fact, they've got to find themselves. They've got one more game with a team. I guess they've got two games remaining with records under 500. They got the Patriots, and then they've got the Seahawks, who are sitting at 4-5. But really, they have one more get-right game against the Patriots before they dive headfirst into that divisional play. And in fact, the Bears had another meeting today. What was said in that team meeting? Well, Bears linebacker TJ Edwards told us earlier today on 6-7 of the Score. You'll hear it coming up next.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times. He will join us on the beat of the Bears. I thought he had a great line of questioning on Sunday for Caleb Williams about did they or did they not turn the page quick enough on that Hail Mary game. We will ask him that. We will find out how hot is the seat for Matt Eberflus. And really what I'm dying to ask, Patrick, is why is Nate Davis still on the team? We'll do that coming up at 7:30. In fact, we'll go out to San Antonio 7:30 for the GM meetings. Bruce Levine will join us. And we are taking your calls. There was another team meeting for the Bears today. I don't know if that's a weekly thing. It's starting to feel like a daily thing. We'll hear from TJ Edwards, who told us about it on the station earlier today, but we're taking your calls as well, 312-644-6767. We also, there's a great new feature. Voice messaging is a new feature on the Odyssey app. It allows users to record and send a message directly to the station. If you do not want to be live, you can go ahead on the Odyssey app, go ahead and leave us a voicemail message. On Election Day, you can go ahead and leave your approval rating of head coach Matt Eberflus, 312-644-6767. Smirk on the road has been waiting patiently with us. Smirk, what's going on? How are you feeling about this Bears team?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think the Bears are great, but to sum everything up fast as I can, Matt Eberflus, give him a beat. Every year they keep changing coordinators and quarterbacks. He's got a solid defense. Let's give him that. Number two, Caleb Williams, he's a rookie, okay? Cut the guy a break, really. He's not, even Tom Brady stunk after a while. But the big thing is, when it comes down to all of that, it backs up to look at Mitch Trubisky, look at Justin Fields, look at when Jay Cutler was here. Everyone said he's great when he came here, he was great when he left, and it's the offensive line. The Bears, and who answers to everybody? It's the general manager. No, it's not Ryan Poles, because who can fire him? It's the McCaskies. They don't want to pay for an offensive line, and until you do, that's just the way it's going to end up.
Spark, thanks for the call. 312-644-6767. It is fascinating how quickly things change in the NFL. We can call it a week-to-week league. A few weeks ago, the Bears were coming off a three-game winning streak. Caleb Williams had a 72% completion percentage, and we felt very, very good about GM Ryan Poles as well. Fast forward 2 weeks, Matt Eberflus is wondering if he's going to have a job at the end of the season. People are panicking about the state of Caleb Williams, and now Ryan Poles, potentially, he's not necessarily looking as sharp because he really, really failed in putting together maybe the most important thing on the field for a first-time quarterback, and that is an offensive line. We'll get more into that coming up. We'll talk about Patrick Finley in about 10 minutes. Right now, TJ Edwards, earlier today on 6-7 The Score, a Bears linebacker, local product, discussed another team meeting and what was said this week.
I mean, it was a lot of, Fluce kind of, right? He leads the team meetings and things like that. But I just felt like we weren't sugarcoating anything. You know, we weren't. Stuff that kind of was said, whatever, I'll keep in-house. But I also think that it was just very genuine and real, and is a understanding that, from coaches to players, we all need to be better, and I think when every single one of us can kind of, look within ourselves first and understand that, but also get the feeling that it's not like, everyone's thinking, it's this guy or that guy. It's all of us being in this together and trying to get this fixed, and that's going to start with tomorrow's practice.
Well, at least they're trying, right? And that was with Bernstein Harris and Rahimi, with the weekly that TJ Edwards does, and he is always honest, and he has been very good this season. He was not Sunday against the Cardinals. In fact, nobody really was, offensive, defensively, and special teams. But the team meeting in itself, it's been so interesting to listen to this team talk because they have been very honest, right? And they have said some things that have been very, very concerning, but you can't necessarily find where the team looks like they are disinterested, right? The honesty comes from a place of wanting to be better. And I thought that what TJ Edwards said, yes, of course, the team meetings regularly, it means that something is going wrong, but they are trying drastically to salvage the way that this thing is going. Because if the NFC North wasn't what it was, if the NFC North wasn't looming, then you could say 4-4 is not necessarily the worst place to be, as you have a rookie quarterback who should be getting better. I tend to look at Caleb Williams a little bit like you would look at college players, right? Because head football coaches in college, they expect their teams to be much better in the second half of the season than the first half of the season. Because if you have freshmen that are playing, well, those freshmen, once you get over the halfway mark, should be more like sophomores than freshmen. When Caleb Williams gets to the NFC North, when he has the Packers in 2 weeks, he will be closer to a second-year guy than a rookie-year guy. The problem is, he's running into the best division in all of football. You've got the Lions, who I think is the best team in football, and then you've got 19 wins between the three of them. It is an incredible gauntlet, and oh, by the way, Christian McCaffrey was back to practice, and the Bears still have the 49ers on their schedule and the Seahawks once we get past this Patriots game. 312-644-6767. Steve is with us, wants to talk a little Bears. Steve, how are you on election night?
Yeah, election night doing very well. I am very concerned about the Bears for the rest of the season because they haven't beaten anybody with a winning record. Last week against Arizona should have been a nice opportunity for the offense, and we were just bad.
They were. Yeah, how are you feeling about Bears head coach Matt Eberflus? Do you think this is it? What does he need to do the rest of the way to hold on to his job for 2025?
Show some emotion, which I don't think that he's capable of. I mean, and the other thing is, like, I think that it's an uninspirational guy talking to the media. I wonder if that's the same thing in the locker room. And the other thing that I would just like to add, I think that his paw prints are all over Shane Waldron as offensive coordinator. Like, just keep us in the game, keep us in the game. Don't do anything, creative on offense. Just, pitch and putt, just keep it short, keep everything in front of them, which has been the same thing for the last two coordinators. Those are my thoughts.
Steve, thanks for the call. 312-644-6767. What you'd love for their identity to be with Caleb Williams as a rookie is a running game, right? You want them to run the ball first and then have a chance to open it up and have Caleb Williams, who at times he hasn't shown great accuracy on the deep ball, but he certainly can throw an accurate ball. And I do think that will be one of the things that ultimately is why he will become a great quarterback in this league. But I don't know at all what the identity is for the Bears offense. And you know what? The biggest problem is I don't think Shane Waldron has any idea of how to build an identity. The ball is not going in the direction of Cole Kmet. Wouldn't you think that your tight end, as good as number 85 is, would be much more of a safety net for Caleb Williams? You've got Keenan Allen, who seems to be running much deeper routes than he has ever run before. For a guy who looks like he was also there to be somewhat of a safety net, get the ball out of his hands, they have no identity on offense, and they are reeling. And that's why, as TJ Edwards told us, they are holding another team meeting. 312-644-6767. Again, we will talk some baseball coming up at 7:30. Bruce Levine will be live coming from the GM meetings in San Antonio. Will Venable is there. In fact, it's somewhat odd for a manager to be at the GM meetings. We'll find out why Will Venable is there. What is the talk about Juan Soto? We'll do that, but coming up next, how hot is the seat for head coach Matt Eberflus? Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times on the beat, will tell us coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.